Christianity is not a life of struggle. That's why God has given us his grace, so that we enjoy a free flow of his kingdom.
Join Prophet Simon Thomas of Glory Carriers Ministry International as he brings you the divine word of God in its simplicity.
All right, so I think I've spoken about the leaking roof and the wretched man experience. And you remember whatever I was saying there, right? Can we in summary talk about it? That for the leaking roof, we meant that sometimes people assume that they have a solution for something, whereas the solutions are some mere assumption. Are we together? If, for instance, you think paracetamol cures high blood pressure, does it in any way? It doesn't, isn't it? Let me ask doctors and nurses. Jasmine, does it? Okay. So there's a drug you're supposed to take, right? And for years you have high BP and you've been taking paracetamol because you felt like paracetamol should cure it. Probably you heard somewhere. Does it make paracetamol now the legitimate drug for curing high BP? Talk to me. Does it? That means for several years you can use that and still be stuck at what? High BP. Because no matter how popular that lie is, the lie does not become true. So we now said that, imagine that there was a leaking roof and you had a solution and you applied the solution because you felt the solution was the truth that should solve that leaking roof issue, but it was some mere assumption. We're trying to describe how that it is the state of some people in the church. Even Jesus said, if a light in you be darkness, he said, your darkness is what? So great. Now that way you see Satan, Satan's ability metamorphosing, not in terms of gradient, but more like he has been given space for so long, and because he's consistently doing one thing, that one thing is now making him look like he's powerful. So we decided to use water there now, because we're talking about leaking roof. That if you allow water to be entering this wall little by little, you'll be seeing the effect of water in times to come, isn't it? Now, at the initial, it may not really be, you know, very obvious. But with time, you see that those little drops of water would have affected the wall over time, isn't it? More like the saying that says, little drop of water makes a mighty ocean. So we say Satan is not powerful, but you see, because for years we felt like we had a solution for Satan, you know, which was wrongly prescribed, probably, you know, via men who probably have good intention, but still did not have the truth of the gospel. We said it is possible, I'm trying to cover everything, right? It is possible to have good intention, all right, good motive and wrong motion. Are we together? You have good motive, yet what? Wrong motion. Because take for instance, your dad cried to you and said 1 + 1 = 11. How many of you put 11, even if he cried and told you he meant it for good? And I now even use this illustration that some of us seated here have given our parents exams before to write, I suggest. Not exams, sorry, assignments. And when we submitted it, we failed, and some of us passed. And when they ask you who did it, because of, you know, your friends and how they react, you probably put it on your eldest brother's head or your mate's head, but you did not put it on your mother's head or father's head, because it would be a shame to say your dad did the assignment and you failed. For instance, there, who has ever had that situation? So nobody likes those kind of things. So the people are not in this church. Are we together? But things like that probably have happened. So your dad means, where he loves you, he actually wanted you to pass. But whatever answer he put there was wrong. Are we together? And so you failed. And that's how it is in life. Especially in the Christendom. We have sincere preachers who may teach wrong things. Are we together? And that is why God will not allow you to insult them for teaching wrong things. Hallelujah to Jesus. Amen. Are you guys get what I'm trying to say? Like our fathers who were sincere, yet they caused us to fail. Alright? So to be sincere does not mean that you always be right. Have you ever been stuck in a situation as a Christian while growing up? More like what Paul explained in Romans 7. Where you know you truly love the Lord. But probably at that point and other stage of your growth, you were stuck in a sin. Anyone like that? So we have situations like that. Where you mean well as a preacher, but your motion is what? Wrong. Are you listening to me? All right. Let me cite an example, another beautiful example. All right, here it is. So if you find yourself in that situation now, what is your remedy? What then becomes your remedy? You are in a church where, for instance, the pastor is a good pastor, but he's teaching something that is wrong. You know, sometimes people will want to be emotional and say, I don't really care if that's the truth. I'll just follow it. God does not want us to follow anybody blindly. Are we together? In the name of respect. I think in African culture, we somehow misunderstand what respect is. Logically speaking now, I don't believe, according to God's word, that anyone should be respected at the detriment of God's word. And when I say respected, I don't mean you should slap the person. I don't mean you should slap the person or beat the person up. That's not what I mean. Or insult the person with wrong words. No. But if you come saying in the name of Jesus that something is wrong, we shouldn't listen to you. Are you listening to me? Because no matter how much of a father you are no more father than the Ancient of Days. Now, logically speaking, are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain to you? You are no more father, but I think somehow there's this religious idea of honor in Africa. And this is not me trying to talk down Africa. This religious idea of honor. Now, if somebody up there says something, we have to figure out a way to try to understand it, even if it goes against scripture. Now, there was a very drastic situation that happened some years back. There was a man of God, well respected, and I respect him a lot, who said something that was very obviously wrong. And I'm even wondering if I should cite the example, but I think a lot of people know about that thing that was wrong. And people knew it was wrong. Some people knew it was wrong. Some people even knew it was wrong, yet they tried to prove it right, because I think they were finding it difficult to believe that somebody at that level should say what is wrong. Are we together? Some people wouldn't question it. No, as long as it's that person, whatever he says is right. You may think you truly honor the person. You don't honor the person. You are walking in folly, is the truth. You may look nice. You may look humble. You may even sound humble speaking those things, those words. But you are actually walking in folly. You guys get what I'm trying to explain to you? Because God does not expect you to just follow somebody blindly. In fact, he said, follow, Paul speaking in 1 Corinthians 11, he said, follow me as I what? Follow Christ. Meaning God does not want you to follow somebody at the detriment of his servant, at the detriment of his word. No. In fact, that's why we are called his servants, because we serve him. Are we together? Are you all here? This is the kind of teaching that breaks wrong fortresses, wrong cultures. Because as I say, there are some people that may be said, why will you walk in dishonor? I don't think you even honor these people more than me. But I just picture God standing before me and saying, why did you choose to follow Eli? I say, because it is somebody that is of high ranking. He said, imagine God now asking, what of me? Who am I? Now, in scripture, there was a younger prophet, you know the story, who who God led somewhere, isn't it? And the older prophet did not know anything about what God did with the younger prophet. And when the younger prophet was going, the older prophet called him not to go. The Bible said the younger prophet was punished, isn't it? Isn't it? Yes, he was punished. Hallelujah to Jesus. Immediately he took the wrong path. Instead of going where God wanted him to go, something struck him and he died. I think he was eaten by a wild beast or something. Isn't it? Yes, a wild beast. So you see, if you go outside the will of God, the enemy will what? Strike. And he will get you. Except you are living within the parameters of the will of God. Are we together? Now so it is even in terms of doctrine. When you are believing a wrong thing, you are giving Satan a foothold over your life. Because knowledge determines our identities and our abilities by extension. You can only do as far as you know because of who you have become via that knowledge. The Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So you may not think doctrine is so powerful until you really think so deep. As regards the ability of knowledge. If as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. That simply means when you are giving people a wrong doctrine, you are probably destroying a generation. Because you are giving them a wrong identity about themselves. You see that? The Bible even says, little foxes, what? Spoil the vine. In fact, the Bible speaks about the yeast of the Pharisees. That the lie is small, but the effect is so terrible. Alright, take for instance, years ago. Many years ago, while Jesus was on the earth, there was a lie that was told after he died, was buried and resurrected. What was the lie? The Pharisees said his body was what? Stolen. Do you know that reason? That's one of the major reasons why Israel as a country, a nation, don't believe in Jesus. Do you know 90% of Israelites don't believe in Jesus that will worship? It doesn't mean they don't believe in the Bible. Though. They believe in Bible, but they don't believe in Jesus. They say Jesus was a liar. That he framed his death, burial, and resurrection. Yes. In fact, recently, not so long, there was a law that was passed. That if you preach Jesus, they will catch you and lock you up. In fact, before they catch you, some of the Israelites will start beating you up. They will beat you very, very well. You people get what I'm trying to say? Because a lie was said many years by their fathers. Their fathers were stiff-necked, like Paul said. Who they killed. After he said it, they still killed him. He said, you stiff-necked generation. He said, before your very eyes, Jesus was dead, buried, and resurrected, blah, 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 blah. And when he was done preaching, they still got offended because he told them the truth and they still killed him. Their character did not change. They passed those values from one generation to another. And I tell you, I don't think this world will ever get better if children will not rise by the power of the Holy Spirit and break cultures. It will never get better. Is it there must be some sort of a fair level of some sort of misunderstood rebellion for God to happen to our generation? I pray the Lord help you to understand what I'm trying to say. Now, this prediction is not just subjected to me. I saw it in the Bible. Jesus said, when I set fire upon the face of the earth, by that he meant that when he's dead, buried, and resurrected, and people are consumed by the consequence of his dead, burial, and resurrection, something will happen to humanity. You know, when he resurrected, he now was revealed as the Christ. And the Bible says, if anybody be in what? The person becomes the what? New creation. He said, when this happened and the influence robs on a generation, he said, the aftermath will be this. He said, parents will rise against their children. Children will rise against their fathers. Fathers will rise against their mothers. Because they are now seeing things what? Differently. Because when the Holy Ghost comes upon a people, something happens. He alters their supposed understanding. They begin to break cultures. And if their parents were kind of biased and wanted to just, you know, implement a certain kind of belief in their heart by all means, it will now become a problem. I am your father. I need you to believe this. And you are like, no, I won't believe this because it is a lie. I want to believe the truth. Of course, as I'm seated here, I'm sure some of you had some kind of fair level of experiences like this. Today, all my family believe in what I do, but there was a time I was flogged for going to church. Not for going to church, sorry. For going to another church. There was a time. There was a time I was locked outside, and you know, sometimes I'll be denied food for a while before they gave me the food finally. Because I went to another church. Not because I was not going to church. I was not going to their choicest church. There was a time like that. But somehow they saw that whatever I'm going to do with God elsewhere was profiting them. Are you people get what I'm trying to say? And they allow baby. They bow their heads, they say whatever they are saying, and I come and lay my hands and they see the power of the Holy Ghost. So they are like, it's profiting us. Why not just leave him? Are you guys get what I'm trying to say? And I had my strong reason. Whatever you are doing is not working. Mine is working. So you cannot stop me. Because obviously my own is working. Your own is not working. Because if a man desires mastery yet not crown, desire is powerful. You can desire mastery yet you are not what? Huh? It says strive how? Very hard. With the whole of your heart. It says strive how? Lawfully. And even though we say with the whole of your heart, like the Bible said, it is because if you truly are seeking the Lord with the whole and the sincerity of your heart, you'll find him. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? You really find him. But of course, the point I'm trying to make right now is the fact that it is not striving very hard that makes you come into mastery. That causes you to come into mastery. What causes you to come into mastery is the fact that you strive what? Lawfully. Are you listening to me? Are you here? If you carry your key and turn it like this, you are locking it, right? When you turn it like this, you are what? So if you want the door to be open, if you like, use all force and turn it like this, it will never open. Why will it open? When you turn it the right way. That's what it means for you to an example of striving what? Lawfully. There are many Christians who are praying, but they are not striving lawfully. They are striving in prayer wrongly. And when you explain to them that you are striving amiss, because the Bible says this first. In 1 Corinthians 15, it said, if I pray in tongues of angels and of men without the understanding of God, who is summarized as love, what did the Bible say? I am only a clanging cymbal. Isn't it? I am only a what? Clanging cymbal. So that simply means you can be striving and just be making noise in the realm of the spirit, in all honesty. So desire is powerful, but let it lead you to true knowledge. If it does not lead you to true knowledge, then it is vain desire. Because Paul said that too in scripture. He said in Romans 10, right? From verse 2. Firstly, he said in verse 1, he said, my heart desire and prayer for Israel is that they be what? Safe. Then in verse 2, he said, I can stand like a lawyer and bear them witness that they have a desire and a zeal for God, a burning zeal, but that zeal is not in accordance to what? Knowledge. So you can have zeal that is not in accordance with what? Knowledge. And to some extent, I really think our generation have that problem. Zeal. They really love the Lord. They have zeal. But the zeal has to be guarded with what? Knowledge. For it to work. Because the goal, the Bible said, if you desire mastery, you ought to strive lawfully. And even in the world generally, we have all agree to this reality that it's not all about hard work but what? Smart work. Do you agree with that? It's not all about what? But what? Smart work. No matter how hard working you are, if you are not putting, if there's no smartness in it, it will not produce result. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? There are people you can tell who work more harder than you, but you are richer than them. Have you seen people like that on the street? So I think that's one of the major problems with this generation. I think we emphasize hard work even in the things of God more than doing things the way the Holy Spirit wants us to do it. Are we together? And that way, failure is inevitable because it is not about praying hard. It's about praying rightly first. The effectual, the Bible said, effectual, all right, or effective. That's what the Bible said in the book of Hebrews. It didn't say hard or heartfelt first. It said the effective. the effectual, heartfelt. Then he said what? Continuous. It's not a coincidence. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? It is a heartfelt first, even though the prayer should be from your heart, because I don't believe in praying in a mindless way. Have you seen people like that? Huh? In fact, some are in church, they will be touching their phone. They will not be wondering why God is not real. Hell yes, he will never be real in your life till you die and meet him. Are you listening to me? Until you wake up. Because how can God be speaking to you and you are touching your phone? And you say you are a serious human being. Not even your chemistry lecture exam will you pass if you are behaving like this. You can have divided attention and expect to win in life. The Bible says if your eyes be single, your whole body is flooded with what? Or some that when the word of God start coming, they begin to sleep. They think it's natural. Immediately they start preaching. You are under attack. And it's something you must fight consciously. That at every section in church, you were excited till the word started coming forth. Then you just started closing your eye. I submit to you, what Jesus has done has not started working in you. Go and break anything that is upon you, like a generational something. Go and break it in prayer. There's something that is wrong. It seems like a joke, but the demons of your father's house don't want you to prosper in the things of God. You know, I was talking with a friend. I said, sometimes you think a lot of things are more important than God in this world until life teaches you strong lessons. You know, some of you may think you don't have time. I need to get this thing done. I don't get time. You see, when life hits you, you don't have time. You have times for the Lord. Times. You create hours. It's not because you have leg you are going to die your shop. You think that you are being hard working. You go, I know if you come evangelism or church, I get something to deliver. Until a time come where you need deliverance. Is it this church you could not come to? The church man will not come to you. But is it the church are graceful people? They will still come. Even though we make mouth, you still see us gathered there. Hallelujah to Jesus. You know, when you see people, logic self should teach you a lesson. I don't think we really need to go into the world for some people to have sense. Just think about it. What if you are not praying? No, there are some people that have not prayed. Like I said, this evening prayer, it will shock you that probably 30% of people like this in this place have not prayed like this for the past 2 months. And they think they are hardworking people. They, in their heart, I'm very hardworking. I don't have time. I don't get time. I don't get time for myself. I'm always busy. You are not busy. You are the one that think you are busy. You are so busy you can't pray. You are not busy. You are busy unto death. I tell you the truth. You must create that strong time. Tell somebody strong time. And pray. Oxygen is everywhere. Protection is everywhere. You are just going. Logic should teach you that it is God that is sustaining you. And if you are wise, you should be plugged so much into God. Are you listening to me? Very important. So there are people like that, very mindless about life. Very mindless. No matter how you talk to them, they don't hear. Isn't it interesting that sometimes hatred is, I'm sure they will understand what I'm saying. You are telling one person something for more than 1 year, it's not hearing. Let me tell you something. If you are in this place and they are correcting you for 1 year, you have not heard, your life is in danger. If you cannot hear truth and abide by truth, how are you living your life internally? How are you living your life? You know, it's so surprising that they tell you truth for 1 year. You can adjust to truth for more than a year. I don't want to even imagine those that is 5 years or 3 years. How then are you living your life? Can the Holy Ghost speak to you on the inside? I wonder why people cry when they disobey their leaders in worship. Why are you wasting your tears? Ekweme. And they tell you something you don't listen after Ekweme. Why did you waste your Ekweme song? You should have just gone to the streets, look for where they smoke Igbo, and tell them to wrap your own for you. Because if it is this God you want to serve, you can never serve him like that. Did you see in scripture that he said that love for him is affirmed by your love for people? Honor for him is affirmed by the people he puts over your life. If you always have a problem with submitting to authority, you can never go far in God. Be wise before you become 40. Because when you now become 40 with this character now, you'll be teaching your children nonsense. It's the truth. And at that point, you cannot tell your children that the mother or father is not wise, because we are respecting their parents. Are you listening to me? You should be scared. King, was it Ahab? Ahab, right? The person who Prophet Samuel dealt it. Saul. There was a time he was a nobody, looking for his horse, and met the prophet. The prophet now told him where the horse was. And the prophet now pitched his feet that that's the next king of Israel, and anointed him. He rejected it. He said, I'm not worthy. They anointed him a king. How do people come to that point where, have you ever imagined it? They were more like a nobody. God raises them up, then they become proud. Have you ever imagined how people ever come to that point? Like, they are days of little beginning. They forget everything. And now they are acting so bad. Even to the people that God used to help them rise up. It happens. You may think you may never be a victim of that. But if you don't pay attention to your life, you will actually act like that. King Saul was not a stupid man. Don't think he was one idiot from hell. He was a normal human being. Are you listening to me? He was quite humble at the beginning. Anything Prophet Samuel would say, he will abide by it. At a point, people's advice. Do you know sometimes family members can advise you unto death? I was talking to a friend who was telling me how someone he knows left a major ministry in this nation. That family members will rally around him and be telling him that you are the one making this branch work. You are suffering. Somebody is enjoying it. And the thing got to his head. That one day, the pastor's wife spoke to him and he replied to the pastor's wife. He said, woman, I don't submit to you. I submit to your husband. And somehow the pastor heard. He said, yeah, come inside. And he said to a man, he said, if you don't listen to my wife, you cannot be in this ministry. A wonderful pastor. He said, so now I've chosen my wife over you. You can go. And that's how he left. You know, there are people like that. They don't respect pastor's wife. They only respect pastor. They feel like the pastor's wife is just some handbag that the pastor have. You know, one of the first things I did when I got married, I called my pastors. And I didn't wait for them to say, mama. I said, this is your mama. And the day you disrespect her, I push you. You like this kind of pastor? Very factual. I say, you disrespect my wife, I push you. I want you to go and tell it to the mountains that I was in that church. When I disrespect pastor wife, he can't push me. He good? Then you people should judge it and judge me. Then we keep on moving. Magana yakari. Go back over. Finish. As long as you cannot come and touch me, you have finished your talk there at that section. God bless you. You have to put that, because normally human beings always are looking for is the slightest opportunity to find problems. Sometimes you see somebody sit in church, he's just looking at pastor's wife. She get pride. You know, I grew in a church. I know the character of human beings. Pastor is laboring and everybody is typing the wife. Mama. I know that girl. I know where she grew. And now, see how she did carry. Person go over and greet her, she's not going to reply. Well. She did carry self, like, say, you know, hey, baby, Prophet Simon, who be this one? You know. Human beings can be like that, so terrible in their thinking, so unbelievable. A lady came to me, a very popular lady, if I call her, you'd be all surprised. She used to, I don't know if she's still there, attending this church, and Well, I knew her from the base, those days, on campus. And she came for counseling one time. She wasn't married. She was having issues with relationship. And you know, when a lady is firebrand, a lot of times men have a problem with that. So we're trying to just curtail the fire so that she'll marry. Amen. Because sometimes you think, hi, this is my fire. I've not met his match. And I think sometimes that your fire is an assumed fire. Calm down so that they will marry you. All right? Because there's a way you come to a man, he will now feel like you are his covering. All right? The man will look at you. The way you talk, you are talking like a covering. But the man read in the Bible that he is the covering. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? So when he looks at you and sizes his level, you say, I'm not rich to cover this one. You know? A young man, I remember before that time, a young man came to me. He wants to marry her. That one is a boy I started raising in BSU those days. So I looked at my boy. He said he wanted to marry. The Lord told him to marry the lady. So when I looked at him and sized him first, I said, who are you going to marry? He said, the Lord. I said, have you told her? He said, no. I said, thank you, Jesus. I helped him. You know what he thought was the reason why God, he was in business and the lady at that time was delving into business. So he said he's sensing a connection for economical revival. All those things we used to talk. You know, when Asabi talk those crazy things. Allow God rest. You know? Like a lady, she's wise now. She used to be funny. I was praying one day and that was after prayer she called me. That time, I'm even thick in the spirit, more very thick. I picked the call and she said, sir, I just wanted to share something that's been in my heart. What is that? I've been in this relationship. Sometimes they've entered, they even say it's talking terms. This guy I've been talking to. They send, I love you. I love you, you'll talk your own. You know, they're already doing it. They don't say they are talking with the person. So I'm considering. Somebody that I've considered is considering. So, and how did I know? I just knew something was wrong with her because her commitment to church was reducing. Most of those boys that are wrong, when they find a lady who is so committed to a church that will remove their bad character, they will try to remove the lady from the church so that the pastor will not catch them. Do you get what I'm trying to say? But if anybody loves the truth and finds a lady in church, he will be committed to that church because there's nothing there. I had a friend who was saying he cannot marry a lady, he cannot go to a church because of a lady. He made all the mouth in this world. He said, the lady said, if you are not committed to my church, you know, to the things of God. We are not saying a lady should bring a guy to church. But if you are not a good Christian, and they say join church, maybe you should enter the church. He wasn't a strong Christian. And he said that, even though he wants to be serious with God, not because of a woman. You know, there are people that talk like that. Not because, a woman should not be the reason why I'm serious about church. So I would just laugh. I told him, I said, you know, he was telling me the story after it has passed. And at that time, the lady was not married. I think she was seeing someone yet. And he said, he loves the church so much. He loves. I said, you enjoy a pastor. It's Christ Embassy. And if you know Christ Embassy, you know ladies bring men into that place very well. You can't draw somebody that is planted there. And I said to him that this battle, you can't win it. I know this church. You can't win this battle. If you love the man of God like you claim, is it not a proof that that's your man of God? He said, yeah, but it should not be as if he's a woman. I say, kill your pride. Go there and enjoy God. A woman, at least woman, gave you church and gave you pastor. He said, no. His ego would not allow him. And the lady really liked him. You know that situation where you are, some of you, you like a guy who is not so planted in the things of God. You get what I'm trying to say? Why is Wanel looking elsewhere? Why are you looking? I'm looking at you. Oh my God. Thank you, Jesus. Are you guys here? Like you are madly in love, but the guy is mad. He doesn't want to do the things of God. He doesn't want to even hear your church name. And you are like, this guy, if he just feel come church, then some of them will bring him to and say, no, my pastor, Christ, my pastor. I say, hi, what's your name, Samuel? Who brought you to church? His sister, Precious. Oh, your friend? Yes. Then the lady will be at the side. Afternoon, sir. You know? So that was the situation. She liked him, but she was more conscious of her destiny in God. She refused. She refused to bow. In fact, the day she broke up, he was telling me the story that she cried. I said, that powerful lady. You know how I knew the lady? He didn't know I know the lady. It's more like you are telling somebody's story. Then at the end, the person asks, what is the name of the person? Then they now call your guy. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? You now say, wait. I knew the lady. So when they finish all the story, you know, if I said I knew the lady, he would have not said the story well. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? So now he talk everything. At the end, and I say, where was this lady? He said, BSU. I say, okay. A Yoruba lady, some sort of. And I said, what is the name of this lady? He called the name. I said, Jesus Christ. I know her very well. I said, that one would have never in this world follow you anywhere. I said, that kind of nice person you miss. Hey! This our friendship would have been better if you had that woman as a wife. At least. Then it was like, and I regret. Because now he's in regret. You know what his regret is right now? The pastor is still his pastor. He loves the pastor. Now he is attending the church. He couldn't resist it. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? It was too much. He was going to another church consciously. You see him back. In fact, I went and joined choir and was singing one time. I just saw him. Why was it? I just knew he would still come back. See, you can't run away from what is part of you. Then he, just like once in a while, even this morning, you just wake up and see somebody who has misbehaved in church over 5 years. Just say, afternoon, sir. I just wanted to greet you, sir. Some will send me, say, sorry, sir. There are some differences. I'm now, who has differences? Hello? You send plenty message apologizing. You just see one straight number. Who is this, sir? It's your son. Which son is this? I don't used to waste time. Okay, you that was in that department that misbehaved. Yes, sir. Okay, I'm hearing you. Sir, I just wanted to... Okay, I'm hearing you. God bless you, sir. And I hung up and moved on. Now, I'm not against them. Hallelujah to Jesus. But, alright? Amen. You will not... Nothing can be done against but for the truth. Finally, you see, went back to the church. And guess what? The lady has two children now. And she's still a pastor in that church. Meaning one day she won't pastor him. Destiny that they would have been running together. Two pastors. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Love of his life. And you know what pained me? The thing got so much to him that one day we were somewhere talking. And he saw a lady. And heard, the thing did not get to him first. So when they called the name of his ex, he couldn't stop looking at the lady. Satan started saying, God, if I can talk to this lady, I will marry her. That's what he was telling me, that if this lady can just talk to me, I will marry her. I said, why do you like the lady? He said, but Simon, this is the lady I want to marry. This is her. I said, why just see somebody for the first time, uncle? Let me even tell you a part of the story I don't want to tell you, but I'll tell you the truth. Should I tell you the truth? The truth was that I now went and talked to the lady for him. You know, I don't like to lie. You will not. But I went to a friend in need is a friend. And I went. I said, because me too, he was getting old. Do you understand? I wanted him to marry. I'm tired for his unmarriedness. So let him marry so that me, I'll come and marry. Do you know Tina is not still married? He may be watching this service. He should go and marry. So I went to the lady. I said, do you know me? I didn't want her to know me. She now knows me. Say, Pastor Simon, sir. I said, okay. How did you know me? I was now saying, sir, I have a friend who attends your church. I said, this world is a small world. I've been seeing your videos and your... I said, okay. You know why I came here? Can you give me a minute? She came. I said, you know, sometimes things happen in mysterious ways. When I think of every line to say, the line did not come out. And I say, don't worry. Somehow, God will help us. All right? When she mentioned, and what's the name of your friend again in church? And I said, okay, fine. So she left. And I called the friend for a meeting. I said, there's one of your friend that the Lord has picked for one of my friend. And God has graced her. Go and tell her that my friend is the one for her. You know, I think at some point, that would have been crazy. At some point when I looked at him, and when I was now connecting, and I remember the lady's ex-name, and I remember, and I said, what's his name? When I heard it, I said, break up. It's not going to work. The tea has not even entered. They were still in talking terms. I just went and put cement and blocked, created a fence. It is me that started it. I ended it. And I told him, I said, I know why you are in love. He said, no, it's not. I said, it's because of the name. So I said, let me even see that. He has the S picture he showed me. I looked at this present. What? Twins. I said, no. This is the flesh. Obviously, I don't need anybody to interpret it. Hallelujah to Jesus. But the point I'm trying to make is this. It's not in the church. Sometimes pride comes before you fall. You see? It's not in the church. Let me say something that may sound so controversial. If you know God wants you to serve Him in this ministry as a call upon your life, He will not bring somebody that will take you away from service. He will not bring what? Somebody that will take... I have a friend... I used to know her in the barrack. Very wonderful lady. Sometimes I'm tempted to even mention her name. Very beautiful lady. I remember one time in Abuja, when someone used to drive me here, David, we were in town and we're supposed to see. Alright? And see, just God's way, just to greet, because we had known ourselves for a very long time. And I was quite inquisitive because she's not into ministry. And I knew she was not into ministry. I knew where she was attending. There was no way she would have been doing ministry. So I was like, when I saw her post and saw her preaching one time, I was like, it's not this person that I used to know. So I wanted to see whether what I'm seeing on Facebook is what is happening in the world. And we saw, she just closed from work. She works in a bank. And she came into the car. We went and dropped her. But we're talking. And I remember the driver, he said, Pastor, this lady is very beautiful. Very wonderful lady. There was a guy that came to marry her. Such a wonderful person. You know? But the person's only problem was that the kind of ministry she does, the way she's into ministry, is not caught up for that. It's not his kind of thing. So she said, I love you. I may love you. And I respect you. She was just telling me this as gist after she has broken up. So I told him, I love him. I may have loved him and respected him, but see, nothing in this world. While we're talking, you can tell she's closing her eye. You see, Pastor Simon, nothing in this world can take me out of my call. I'd rather die unmarried. I said, what did you just say? He said, I'd rather die unmarried than to fail Jesus in my lifetime. I said, I need to bring that lady here to preach one evening. The fire is too much. Finally, of course, she has somebody she wants to marry. The person now is full member. I think they're making him a pastor very soon. She's an elder in the church. She's not just a pastor. She has graduated from pastor. They made her elder. Very young woman, like precious like this. You look so young, like your people's mates. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Like an elder. When you understand purpose, you don't joke with your life. All these blip things will just stop. It's when you don't understand purpose that you are doing everything you want to do. Everything in this world, everywhere you want to be there. Purpose gives clarity. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? You can't choose anybody to marry everybody. Your life is very, very beautiful. Don't look down on yourself. I mean, how can you be broken up? You have broken up from 5 relationships as a lady. Why are you joking with your life? You enter first one, second one, third one, fourth one, fifth one. You were not wise till the fifth one. And as a guy, you have been everywhere. If you are a guy, I used to say this once in a while in church, and under the sound of my voice, you are chatting with 2 girls, 3 girls, purposelessly on Facebook now. Facebook Messenger, Instagram. In fact, even if it's only church guests that fool your chat, as long as it's guests, it will be hard for God to use you. it will be very hard. Like you sit down, you know, there are some people like that. They just sit down and they just look at a lady on Facebook and say, "Hi, damsel. How are you? I just wanted to appreciate your beauty, nothing less. Can I have your WhatsApp number?" Some, it's not even Facebook, it's our church WhatsApp group. While we're praying here and worshiping, they are sighting people. Wow. That girl. Okay. Let me hear what that will call her name. Blah, 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 blah. All right. You now go to Facebook, their WhatsApp, start checking for the name. They would have added like 5 ladies before they now get the main lady. Say, "What's that your name?" "Oh, sorry, it's a mistake. Sorry, it's a mistake." We're dealing with a case where somebody sent love messages to over, is it 10? Up to 10? 7? I think up to 7 people. We're dealing with a case in the leadership. Somebody in church sent love messages to like 7 girls. He's toasting 7 girls at the same time. Like when he see the one that is fine, he will say, I've been teasing at this one. You will not start with this one. I've been teasing at this one. You will not start. So one of the persons in the meeting says, "Sir, it's like he created broadcast message, love broadcast message, and added 7 ladies and just do warwaso. You know they call warwaso in Hausa. He poured it and said, anyone that click, I carry and go. Whether it's 2 or 3, I will go with it." And in our church, we are very wonderful people. If we catch you toasting, we will tell you that we caught you toasting. And that you should stop toasting. And you must not leave the church. You will still be coming to the church. It's part of discipleship. One of the things that have happened to people in this place is brokenness, I can tell. God has broken them. That's why sometimes you think these are our church boys. They don't used to see girls. They used to see girls. But their eyes are set more on purpose. I know there are some that are still seeing girls, but it's not purpose. Hallelujah to Jesus. I've cited some example of some that came to my house years ago, 1 or 2. And they are cleaning the house. And in fact, one came and said, "Sir, I've come to submit. The Lord said I should come and submit totally. And that he wants to use me through your life." I said, "Okay, that's beautiful." So we'll see another time when we're done talking. He said, "Okay, let me clean the house." And I'm just passing, and the Holy Ghost said, "Let's start the work now." I said, "It doesn't look like it, but you are in relationship." He said, "Yes, sir." "How did you meet her?" Then I'll now pretend and sit down. "Yes, sir. So thank you very much for that question, sir." I was praying. And while I was praying, yes. I mean, so I'll follow you and be saying the Lord like you are calling the Lord. And when they are done, I'll say, "Okay, the Lord just says you should break up." Now, that's the first test. You have told me all that the Lord said. The Lord told you on the 17th of January, in the evening by 5 p.m., you heard it loud and clear. This is the wife of your youth. And with her, you do wonders for the Lord. I said, "That's good." Now, the Lord said, "Break up. Break up with the wife of your youth." And you see one kind of shock in their eyes. Which I carry myself enter like this. And I say, "Yeah, you're going to break up, all right? So you do it right now." "Sir, you mean I'll go home then?" They're already crying. "Oh, I'll go home. Then I'll arrange." I said, You not ask, is it the breakup that's making you cry? "No, sir. No, sir. No, sir." "Then why are you crying?" "Oh, the mop is heavy on your hand. Can I help you?" "No, no, sir. I'm not crying, sir. But tears is falling from your eyes. Why does?" If I talk, this church will scatter. You know? It's emotional. Very emotional moment. I felt it too. But it had to happen that way. It had to. You know, when you look at somebody and say, you know, even though it has to happen this way. Have you broken up before? Have you broken up before? You? Did you say this line? It just have to happen this way. You've broken up before? Wow, amazing. You've broken up before? Break up now, what? You've broken up before? Okay. It just have to happen this way. It just have to happen. Is there another one, Pastor Mike, can tell us the way they say it? Hallelujah to Jesus. And so finally you just see them crying. I remember one of them told me, sir, we have gone through a lot together. We have gone through a lot. When there was nobody helping me, she would come. I said, oh, she did that. She really did all of this. What a nice lady. What a nice lady. Yes, sir. That's why I'm finding it difficult to break up. Yeah. I understand you. Break up. Sir, can I go home before I break up? Uh-uh. The broken up starts now. Now that you hear the word of the Lord, harden not your heart. I will help some to craft the message. When they craft the message for breakup, I will now say, let me see. You know, you spoke with your love in the morning and you say, let you visit our spiritual father. I want to visit our spiritual father that I just found. You are telling her, Vera, I want to visit daddy. I will soon take you to daddy. Then you go to daddy. That was the case. And a lot of times, I think the only line I used to edit was this. Let me see the message. Okay, good. You didn't add one line. Sorry for deceiving you all these years. Because you wasted our time. Sorry for wasting your time and deceiving you. You have to add that. You apologize. Because she did not ask you out. You asked her out. You like that? I'm one of a kind, right? So, I haven't heard rumor outside that I used to break people's relationship. Actually, it's true. So, that one now, the boss is ticked. They didn't lie about that. Hallelujah to Jesus. Yes, because I'm like God, alright? Who is more like a stumbling stone in Zion. If you are not seeing, he will set you like, and if you are going through a wrong path, you know the Bible says God is like a stumbling stone in Zion. He just does like this for you when you are going the wrong path. And you fall, so that you know that this path you are going is wrong. Are you forgetting what I'm trying to say? Very important. While I was young, my spiritual father made my heart like this. We don't used to fall in love when we were growing up. We can't fall in love because we are wasting the love. We just look at you. You are talking with a lady nicely. Just nicely. I remember the first time I did not even know. So there was this lady. The lady I spoke about that is an elder now. You know, we used to be very close. In fact, people were thinking we'll marry. We have not said we love you. Just that, you know that yeah, like closeness. Have you been there before? Do you understand what I'm trying to say? That strong closeness. Very important. Hallelujah to Jesus. Unnecessary closeness. But unto death. And people were thinking something will happen soon. In fact, some people used to say, you people fit. They'll look and say, you guys fit. You look like twins. An Igbo lady, many years ago. Until one day I was talking and just talking with my Lai sister. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? That time or now she can be true sister. And my spiritual father called and said, Simon, danger, what are you doing now? He said, sir, I'm just on my bed. I just finished washing and he said, what are thou doing now? Sir, I promise I'm just on the bed, sir. And those days, the way I had so much regard for my spiritual father, I knelt down talking to him on the phone. I'm just on my bed, sir. Okay, what are you doing on your bed? Sir, nothing, sir. I'm just lying down. Okay. Simon, lastly, who are you chatting with? I said, no, I'm just online, sir. You probably saw me online on To-Go. To-Go has caused more harm than good. You saw me online. I said, Simon, that person you are talking to now, before you pick my call, stop. You want to go for a ministry? Yes, sir. You want to do great things for God? Yes, sir. Break up now. Don't look at that direction. That's not where you ought to be. Don't try it. Yes, sir. We are saying, how was your day? How are things happening? Just like that, you are talking with a young man, he's greeting you, people are greeting yourself. The next thing you hear that he has blocked you and deleted you from to go. That was what happened. That's how that lady hated me for years. Because that's how I did not say my spiritual father said I should break. I just removed it. Because I feared my destiny. I wanted to go far. She wouldn't talk to me. Nothing. Until we now grew and had sense, then we started talking. That's the beauty of life. You know, some of you seated here as young men, some ladies that have broken your heart, you think they'll suffer. You grow up and meet in high places, nothing will happen to them. Now, that's one funny irony of life. Some of you are wishing ladies who broke up with you bad. She left me while I had nothing. What did you have actually? Who even permitted you to enter the relationship? If you had nothing, what were you doing there? So you knew you had nothing. And let me say one very striking thing to you people. Most of you always feel bad because you've not had a daughter. When you have a daughter, you know, you start understanding the feelings of ladies' infirmity. If you finally have a child, carry her and give somebody who you don't understand what is happening in his life. He just comes and he talks. When he talks, say, "Oh, I hear you." Then give your child. A lot of times you have to ask questions. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Where are you carrying my child? I raised this child till this age. Where are you carrying her to? What are you going to give her to eat? Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Some will go ahead. Some fathers will go and search where you are working and ask whether you are truly working there. Because they are wondering. You may wonder if they are being stupid. They are actually not being stupid. Some of them are just being fathers. Are we together? So if you are here, for instance, I just deviated a little bit, and there are people who broke your heart years ago, especially men, who women broke your heart, and you think that they will not go far in life. I'm here to tell you that your predictions will not happen. If you look at them, obviously, they are even doing, some of them are doing better than you already. And I'm telling you the truth. There are some kind of sin God does not use to count. Because at that point, he did not even know what you people were doing. So why laying curses? God does not even believe in what you are doing at that point. You carried your own self and entered the relationship. Are you listening to me? So young lady, if a guy, you don't understand a guy, just leave. Don't be emotional. Life is not Nollywood or Bollywood. Don't get scared of those things you watched. Nothing they happen. I'm not saying those who are going to be wicked. When you do wickedness and you are really doing wickedness as a lady, you will reap what you sow. Are we together? Now let me try to round up. Obviously, we will not finish this today. Then I spoke about the young people are not rebels. Can you find that subtopic there? So amazing. That my summarizing of former service was today's service. The message was, I think this is the longest series I've ever done as a pastor. Hallelujah to Jesus. The young people are not rebels. What inspired that subtopic? So I was talking about a generation who are probably soaked in sin. Not everyone, but probably a fair percentage. You know, I had a preacher lately. We were coding together when we heard it at home with some of our people here. And we're wondering, I was just listening on the background. He said, the kind of sin in this world, he doesn't think Jesus' death would have covered for it. That the kind of sin in this world, he doesn't think the anointing that Jesus had while he was alive would have been able to curtail it. That the sin has increased. The troubles are much. You know, I've heard people who say, our God's generation, they had it easy when it comes to overcoming sin. They had it easy. See, those days, ladies were not looking this bad. And I don't know why when they talk about sin, they always put ladies at the front. Is it only ladies that are serving God? Sorry, men that are serving God. Are ladies not serving God too? I don't know. Every time they talk about sin, you always see them carry women up. As if women are for Satan. Me, I always used to say that if a man sin, he sins of his own word. If you like, let a woman wear burugu. How many of you know what they call burugu? I don't know what they call it in English language. Me, I know it as burugu. Blanket, okay. They will not understand burugu if you say blanket. There's a difference between blanket and burugu. Burugu, burguni. Yes, it's the typical one. If you say tikma, they will not get us. How many of you know what burugu is? Raise your hand, let me see. Aye. You know, Gen Z, 2,000 people will not understand what I'm saying. Those days, when we were growing up, when we were small, in the barracks, there's one thick, this thing like that, very thick. Can you remember it? Say, ah, Pastor, was I in the barrack with you? I don't know if people outside barrack use it. Very, very thick. That one, if you cover your body, cold cannot prevail against you. It's not cold will not enter you. It's cold cannot enter you. So we call it burugu. It's very thick. Very thick and heavy. If the day your mother say wash burugu, you are crying already. It will be your worst day. They used to wash it like two times in a year, those days. And the day you are washing burugu, you can call friends to come and help you. Hallelujah to Jesus. It will soak a lot of water. If a lady lie, let her wear burugu as cloth. There are some men that Satan will steer an ability within them to x-ray beyond that burugu. They'll be seen by faith. Sorry. They'll be seen. They will see what eyes have not seen. Ears have not heard, but it has entered into their heart. They'll see it. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Don't think it's about women's dressing. That's why anytime a woman comes to this place, dressed anyhow, I've worn ushers, allow them to enter church. They are not your problem. It is in church that there will be change. If you like, come to our church, see one lady, just wait to consign me. We preach. We move. If we drive them from church, where will they be changed? Eyes that have seen holies of holies. What holies of holies will take you off God? You didn't get what I'm trying to say. If you have seen God, what will you see that will take you off God? Nothing. It's like some young men don't believe me. I say, if you have seen God, what else can you see in this world that will take you off God? While I was growing up, there was this lady. We were friends. She's a pastor. Two pastors. We're just close. And one of those days, we're talking. And she told me the story of some people who started like giants in BSU, who are across media. Over 3 years in school before I came, I was like in 100 level, they were like in 300 or 400 level. But they used to come to learn the word. Those days we started earlier. I think their Pastor Anne will know them. Hallelujah to Jesus. So one day we were talking, and she made a statement that made me so angry. Not angry to beat her, not angry because I wanted to insult her. I was just angry about everything. What was the statement? She said, on the strength of people, she first brought out a strong reason. I should know this guy. Pastor Simon, if you see this guy preach, if you hear this guy's sound, voice, fire, he will lay hands, he has healed this. When she was done, she wanted to just say something. That's why she was strengthening whatever she wanted to say. She now said, finally, he still fell. He made a lady pregnant in BS before he left. He did not finish, so he left the school. So she now said, on the strength of that, because she was reading a book. And I asked him, why are you reading such a useless book? It was written by a psychologist. And you know what I say about psychologists, right? That don't know God. A psychologist that does not know God is like a dark man in a dark room looking for a dark car that has his eye closed. It is a study of the fallen state of man. The state of man that God never created. That's what psychology has studied. That is why to their confusion there is no end. They embed confusions and write and save them in a book. One of the confusions they save in a book is a writing called Multiple Personalities. They think it's intelligence. But that's just the study of nonsense that does not have a base in the realm of the spirit. It's on the strength of that many are believing that a man has the ability to behave like a woman. That is why today you see that some men, I haven't seen that. I heard in Canada lately that some people are trying to make sure that women can give birth. Sorry, men can begin to give birth. Transgender men can give birth. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Like they will experience what those experience for women and give birth. Oh, so strange. I saw it. They are now arresting pastors. I saw it. They were arresting a pastor who was preaching on the street, but they allowed that one to prevail. That's why I say if your goal in this life is to go to Canada and US just to send money for house, you have failed God already. You have failed God. If God cannot use you to spread his kingdom, you have already failed him. It's good to have money, but not at the detriment of your soul. What can a man offer in exchange of his soul? It is that ideology that makes people to begin to, that strengthen all of these useless demonic ideas upon the face of the earth. That a whole nation are blindfolded. They will tell you that a president of a nation will sit down and say, ah, a man must marry a man. I tell you, there are certain people that rule nations. It's not democracy. No, democracy has never, I heard it from my smuro of blessed memory. Democracy has never been practiced in this world. The nature of a human being cannot practice democracy. We have what we call kingdom nature. Men like to subdue by default. And it's not bad, except the subjection, the subduing is unto death and unto darkness. Because God created us to take dominion by nature. We like dominion as human beings. But if that dominion is unto death, then it's a wrong one. You saw a president right now in Burkina Faso. See what he's doing. Somehow God, you know, when God begins to move in people, some people will be waiting to hear what people are doing. No. Look at your Bible. God can use anybody. If he could use a donkey, he can use anybody. The man said, if you go outside to study Sharia, stay there, don't come back to this country. He blocked their ticket to come back, to coming back. He said, don't come back to this country. He said, we need people who come and bring innovation. People who read sciences, mathematics. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Medicine. To bring development to the country, not people who went and read Sharia law. He said, they should stay there and practice it. That's what we call a president. We are in a country. People of God, listen carefully. I don't know how you people receive these things in your head. There's Nigeria constitution. So Nigeria constitution, now it follow Sharia for back. Now Sharia law constitution, now be Nigeria constitution, oga. It is what some sector of people say. You know, I had a very dull governor recently in Bauchi saying some stupid things. Some people came from Saudi Arabia and he said that He wants Arabic and whatsoever should to be studied in, to be put in the curriculum of Nigeria's educational system. That it is good. And the people stood up today and said, yes, I want to thank the governor. It's a good decision. Let the president, you can see. But there are some Christians who nothing consign them. They will just come to church on Sunday morning. They walk, they walk. And when they go back home, let me look for one song. Brother, you don't, they do one thing. One thing. Come on, give me one new song. These latest songs. Give me one of those songs. Don't pretend. Huh? I've been saying that for long. Give me a new one. People should talk now. I'm not saying that you are listening to it. You are passing and you probably heard it. So tell me. Eh? You were passing. It's not like you listened to it. What, when we were passing, what did you hear? Eh? Argumenta. I don't think I really know that. I wanted something so popular that I can relate to it. Because I'm sure I would have probably heard it. Huh? What? I'm not available. They know they see me. Yes. They say it's not even recent. You are taking us back. Well, whatsoever. You listen to all of these songs in church. You cry. Then you go back home. And you know, you can even tell those Christians are not serious Christians. Anything in the world they want to come and practice in church. When you question them, they'll say, Jesus. Are you seeing them on Facebook? Just speak against wrong things. They'll say, Assistant Jesus. So you see, people that have truth, they are scared of commenting on Facebook. They will finish you. There are a lot of people who don't think of Facebook. They will finish you. So you see, people that have truth will just keep their mouth shut and be watching the world. Hello, world. I'll be looking at them. You come to church, you practice worldliness, you go back home practicing worldliness. That's why most of them in church, when we start doing something that looks like the world, they will embrace it and tell us to keep quiet. Shh, no louder. No louder. Now, this kind of church we like. We like this kind of church. Before you know, they come to church, they have tied bandana on one side down, do something, bore their nose, and they'll come to the front like it's right. They want to. Is it because that's the kind of life they were living? And they don't want to be discipled. I was sharing with Mama T. Davido would do song. A church will be doing the gospel version of it. That in the realm of the spirit, there is no stream. God is lacking songs. That when Davido is done, God will not say, oh yeah, he has blessed the body of Christ with a song. You can imagine. Am I saying Davido is a devil? No. But even Davido will not take us serious. He will not. Born or boy will release. He will take Igbo and release song and inspire church instrumentalists. On a normal day, they don't think bam 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 bam. You don't see their promise, you know. How can somebody like that inspire the church? We are not condemning him that is a devil. Jesus loves him. And of course, somebody that knows him should tell him the truth that Jesus loves him and wants him what? Saved. But that's not the standard. The standard should flow out from where? Zion. But if we should have Christians like this, how can we stand for what is truth in our nation? When your belly matters more than anything for Jesus. How can we stand for truth? If you look at these other guys, we are not comparing ourselves with them. But they are sold out to their belief. That they can do anything for their belief. I was telling somebody that was arguing with me. They said, no, there's a prophetic agenda over Nigeria. Who does not know? Was it not upon Israel after afterwards they became slaves for over 400 years? Talk to me, church. Yes, there was a mighty prophetic agenda on Israel. Yet Egypt made them slaves until God had to raise another man called Moses. After how many years? Over 400 and something years, yeah. That means they would have even forgotten. The word of God never dies, oh. But you can, out of your foolishness, pause the manifestation of the word. If you observe, it did not even happen with the generation that heard the word. Their foolishness made them slaves, made their children, generation, slaves, until one time God said, let me show these people mercy. And how did he show these people mercy? Listen to me carefully. And that's how many people miss their salvation. He sent a man. He sent a man. Moses. You think Moses, a man that God sends for the salvation of a people, is not important to you? Really think about the stories. Moses' story, Jesus' story, and some of the people God used so mightily. When they gave birth to Moses, the witches and wizards, they saw it in the realm of the spirit. Ah, that's why I say word of knowledge does not make you a prophet. They saw it that somebody is coming to dethrone the king. And the person is coming from Israel. But God has gone ahead of them. You know, when God does his thing, you think it's so casual. Until you really meditate, you now understand it is the fulfillment of prophecy. It is his hand making things work for your good. Think about it. Pharaoh's daughter is going to bed. And suddenly, there's a child dangling. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Now, and she said, no, I like that child. Don't touch him. And a father, most fathers will always do everything for their daughter. It's the truth. That's why most of their time, if you go anyhow, they will slap you. Most fathers. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? He couldn't do anything. What was the chances? Have you done probability before in math, in secondary school? You remember probability, right? I will not ask you a question. You remember probability? All right. What is the chance of Moses being the one that will dethrone Pharaoh amidst the thousands that he has killed? Zero. But with God, that last chance can be the chance. I tell you the truth. And suddenly they took that boy. God said, you that want to kill this, no problem, I will deal with you people. You want to wipe an entire generation because of my name? Okay. You will train the child. Now God made Pharaoh to use his hard-earned money to train somebody that would dethrone him. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain? It took years training, raising this boy, giving the best food and training. Best education. Then when it was time, the Bible said by faith, Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh. Faith a lot of times can take you out of comfort. It can take you. Let me tell you something you don't know about working with God. Elisha was working with God. Was doing well in life, I mean. He was a great farmer. Everybody Jesus called was doing something. Don't think God only calls people that don't do. He will look at you minding your business and doing your life and tell you, come and follow me like this. Peter was a fisherman. Elisha was a farmer. Matthew was a tax collector. Everybody was doing something. Luke, all of them. In fact, somebody will say, what of Paul? Paul was doing something. He was busy killing Christians. All of them were doing something. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? And suddenly encountered them and changed everything about their life. And you think sometimes our parents will not have a problem with that? Train you to be a doctor. You finish up everything and say, mommy, the Lord has put it on my heart, Rabosh Kavahai, that I should go to Kenya and start a work for him. And your mommy looks at your father. Now when he start go that stupid boy church, now he start think like this. When he started going, that was where, you know, I was telling some boys that I had gone to police station before. A member did not come to church. We now send pastor to go and visit member. They now arrest the pastor. So the father arrested the pastor. I said, my pastor, so I have to go because my pastor has been arrested. So we went. When we entered there, I see the senior one and they should arrest him now. Of course, they can't arrest me because I know my rights. So when I went close, what is the problem? I heard the problem. He's not supposed to come. They won, blah, blah, blah. That's why he's arrested and now brought the pastor out from jail or something. And I came outside. So, looking at the parents, you know, they were so mad at me. Since when? Children are not listening to their parents. You will not advise them to listen. What did I not advise them to listen? Marriage. They didn't want to marry the person. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? They had God's will for their life. They say, it's my fault. And I just say, God, so this is what I'll go through. And finally, the DPO now say, okay, finally, children. This is how I'll solve the case. Choose between your father and the church. Anything you choose stands forever. I now say to the father and mother, whatever they choose, he was not expecting what they would choose. You can't do anything against it. And pastor, when they are done choosing, cut your hands off. I said, okay, sir. I wanted to go because I didn't even want that to happen. There was no need. But he said I should stay. When they asked them, I said, we'll choose our church. Everywhere was just cold. Everywhere first blow. Even the DPO was shocked. He now say, well, now that they're choosing the church, he now turned to the parents, you don't have right to stop them from going to their church. It's against their civil rights. You know, African fathers, against civil rights of my Pekin. Pekin where I suffer born. Everybody was doing something. I wanted to be a doctor. I mean, every time doctor. I mean, a doctor that is better than any doctor you have ever thought of. I loved medicine. What? Those days in secondary school, I would carry books on medicine and be reading. My father would come in the night and be seizing them from my hand. Because he said it was training my eyes. Even when there was no light. I really wanted to be a doctor. In fact, I got to a point I changed my name on Facebook to Dr. Simon Thomas. It was that strong upon me. Until one day I sat down with someone who is friends with my spiritual father before he died. So, you know, at that point I was a little bit confused. So I went to him because he was my spiritual father's friend, very, very close to my spiritual father. Simon, how are you doing? I said, I'm fine. What do you want to do? I said, I've applied medicine and surgery. And he said, but the call of God obviously is so strong upon you. We all know that. I said, yes, it will not stop me from fulfilling the call of God. He said, yeah, but I don't think you should have necessarily just do something for 4 years and focus on the call. We that are experienced there will tell you I said, sir, no, it's medicine, you know, I've chosen medicine. And when I put Nsukka and Nsukka fire me from that calling. Nsukka did not give me medicine. I think they gave me biochemistry. I ran away. And I found myself doing mathematics and computer science. And you know, as I started doing this course, in fact, at 400 level, that's when I discovered that I may use this course. I did the course to 400 level. People were leaving the department, you know, they could not cope. It was quite difficult. If you know the computer science, you know the story. Some of our coursemates graduated with some of him in biology and psychology. It's the truth. It's in 400 level, the Lord just, while I was doing artificial intelligence, I was leading a group. They saw me in the group and they said I must be the group leader since I'm the pastor. I'm a pastor. That's when I discovered that, Kai, I may use this thing. And that I may use looked like a small thing till it became big till today. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? And getting better with time. I just knew that I'm supposed to be here. It looks so casual, but that's how I got into what God wanted me to do. It looks so casual. Sit down and think about it. A lot of times when we make decisions, we really are not thinking about destiny. A lot of times we're thinking about our stomach. That's why sometimes you'll be in a field, you have graduated there, but your spirit is not there, your soul and body is not there. Because look at it, that one was so mindless. I want to read political science. I want to read sociology. You don't even know why you want to read. Why do you want to read political science? My papa said the course good. That's the only reason. Then when you finish now, you now have passion for a certain field. You know, I saw somebody recently, and I'm grateful to God for that life. He did law in BSU. He then traveled out, and he did medicine. He's now a nurse, I think. He discovered that there was nothing for him. He didn't feel anything standing. He can't imagine himself standing and saying, my Lord, the thing was not flowing. My Lord is innocent. He couldn't really get it. And so he changed. Are you all listening to me tonight? And it's not too late. Some of you who have graduated, it's not late. If you discover what God wants you to do, go and start doing internship there. For free. For free. I always used to give instances. Betty did chemistry. But the way she's doing computer science now, she can come to a point they can give her a PhD in it. Donna did anatomy. Waiting concern anatomy and computer. And the lives of them. In fact, there are some, now don't get it wrong, there are some who did computer science, but they don't want to hear coding in their ear. If they hear it, they'll slap you. They've gone to where God wants them to be, and it's okay. Are you listening to me? Very important. So sometimes, it may be like you are casually entering into destiny, but that's how God does it. You'll be seated here now, as I'm saying this thing, God will just highlight something in your heart. That's it. It's not a coincidence. So why they think this thing when prophet they think? Maybe not my mind. Not be your mind. It's the mind of Christ. It's the mind of Christ. As I'm talking, I can sense, I hear it so clear. The Lord telling somebody, break up. Break up. And sometimes when I say this thing, they think I'm just joking. Break up. Are you listening to me? Huh? What did I say? Sometimes if you don't break up, you will not see the real person. For this person now, the Lord said break up so that the real person will see you. And some of you, the real person has been a friend for so long now. But the moment you break up, the scales will fall. I tell you the truth, that person you've been calling a brother to you may be your husband. And that's why I used to warn ladies, stop saying you are like a brother to me. Keep your mouth shut. If they are not your brothers and sisters, don't talk that thing. Guys, that thing is not annoying. It's like Melody can relate with me. Who has told you that? Can relate. You can relate? My God. Shebi, I said you and Sen should not enter a relationship till like 5 years. Okay. I don't want to catch you people. You can admire and just keep on serving God. Don't ever. Ayo, it's like 7 years. Did I not say your mind? I didn't say your mind. Okay, 8 years, ba. I beg you. And there are some of you who go and marry. Touch your neighbor and say, have you wished to marry? Now, what do you say about your neighbor? Have they reached? Tell them your wife and husband may be around. Talk, you are not. Some of you are shy for your neighbor. You are blushing. Miriam is not telling anybody. Can you imagine? Are you scared that they will marry you? Come and let them marry you. I want to just be hearing marriage. You come and say, sir, the Lord tell me to date. I don't want to be hearing date in this church. Just marriage. I want to be hearing. Just one small picking. Say, the Lord say I should. That's my wife. When do you want to marry? 5 years. You think it's Lord of the Rings that are doing it. If you are somebody that wants to marry in 5 years time, don't dare. It's a warning I'm giving you. If you come to my office, I will clear your doubt. Don't dare that rubbish. When do you want to marry in 5 years time? What are you finding? Who made you to fall in love? So the Lord wants us to build together. You will build in marriage. Since I want to build certain businesses before we enter into marriage. You better build. She will come and help you. Manage it. Are you listening to me? Very important. This advice is powerful. Don't joke with it too. Be falling in love anyhow. Stand up. Maybe that's not your husband. Why are you falling in love? Stand up. You fall in love very well now. Your husband will come. You can't love your husband. You have wasted your love on another person. Love that is for your husband, you have given other people. Now there's no love found on your inside again. It's empty. In fact, say, I don't believe in love. You have given all your love. Don't say you don't believe in love. You don't get love again. That's finished. Tell somebody, don't waste your love. Keep it for the right person. When the right person comes, shower the person with the love. Bath the person with the love. Like the way my wife is bathing me with love. I used to get tired for the love, but I don't mind. Shower the person with the love. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Like I was telling Pastor Anna on Sunday, she said her husband was having a little fever. The man of God, that was not nice as a covering, but I said to her, I said, go home, do hot pepper soup, very hot one. Then kneel down and say, Dalu, nine, my king. And I said, feed him. She now said, they're laughing. It was me, say, my wife is laughing too. Oh, God. That means you will not even do it too. Jesus Christ. You will kneel down and say, nine, Igwe. Odogu, you now feed him gently like your baby. I told her, do that. She was not like, sir, I made pepper soup the other day. I said, go and make again. The problem is that some of you have wasted that your love before. You can't collect all your love back in the name of Jesus and pour it on the right people. I know what I'm telling you. You think it's a joke. See, you now enter a new relationship and you are thinking of your ex. You are seeing your ex in your present. When she talks, she reminds you of your ex. You know why? Because you have wasted your years with the wrong people. God knows why I deviated. Even me, I don't know why I deviated to this kind of thing I'm saying. But only God knows. And you who I'm talking to, you know. Life is not a bed of roses. Don't just be joking with your life. I that he did, nobody know. Pastor Phil, no one knows any guy that my boyfriend. Pastor Phil does not need to know. God knows. You think you are whining Pastor Phil, right? You are deceiving him, but you are deceiving yourself. God said, if I am mocked, my name is not God. I'm trying to paraphrase. God cannot be mocked. What a man sows, he must reap. I've been a pastor for many years. You see me sometimes joke how people message me. I'm not trying to make them feel bad. But a lot of times I always tell them, whenever they call Saturday, I say, if you had listened, is it not bad that after so many years you are realizing what you were telling you years ago? One came to me and said, sir, we thought there was something out there. There's nothing out there. There's nothing out there. That's why I decided to come back home. It broke my heart. Because if you truly listened years ago, you'll not be in that situation. And that's how some presently are thinking, I want to be free. You know, sometimes this year might look like cage. That demon in you will not allow it to manifest. So they invited me to one big church. Let me come and sing worship. I made Pastor Emma say, sir, this boy is invited. Say, tell him to pray. Tell him to pray. He should not go anywhere. And we don't always tell people no. Sometimes we say they can't go. Alright? But if no fall on your head, you receive it. Boldly, let me say this part. You come to your pastor. I say, sir, someone is asking me out for marriage. Marriage is not a joke. And God makes him shepherd. What am I? Am I not shepherd? What are you? Are you shepherd or sheep? Good. And if God says we are building you up, if relationship has wrong relationship have the potency to destroy your life, will God allow wrong relationship to happen to your life if we are here guarding? He can't. Use logic to understand this. So somehow God will make us somehow understand when it's right or wrong. Understand this truth. And the pastor will tell you. So a lot of times I tell people I really don't know. Some of you can tell. You come to my office and say, I don't know. I'll tell you to go and pray. I truly don't know. I've given more I don't know than I know. And a few times when I just speak it in my house, whether it's 2 a.m., you see me send you a message. Coincidentally, most times when I send people messages, they are over a week. I don't know how it happens. Say, so you, that relationship we spoke about, down there. I don't use to waste time. If I'm sure, I say it. Hallelujah to Jesus. So somehow God will give us that edge. And that's why even in this service, I knew I deviated for your sake. You go back home. You know, I've seen people sometimes, and they're just 18, 19, 21. They don't know life. When you advise them, they go and do their mind. Are you forgetting what I'm trying to say? They do their mind. One time I remember a lady, I had to call. I said, this is your hairstyle. Is it necessary? She said, other people are doing. It's not other people. You, is it necessary? There's one question I always used to ask. Do you have a younger sister? Yeah. Would you want the younger sister to do this kind of your hair? Sir, it's not really, it's just Africans. Okay, it's just we don't have sense as Africans. We're watching something today on YouTube. I think Donald even posted it, and we're all agreeing that, you know, when you see truth, everybody will just agree corporately. We're agreeing that the way these people sing is different. They were all on blazers, all looking corporate. Nobody punctured extra ear and nose. Now if you had punctured extra ear, I'm not for you, against you, sorry. I'm for you. Are we together? I'm just citing an example. Nobody punctured nose. Nobody punched. They were all just singing to the Lord. You can sense a thick presence. The thick presence of the Holy Ghost. Such that nobody ought to tell us their name. We had to raise our head and look at them. Who are these people? We ask in one accord. Before we saw their dressing, we can tell that there's intensity of the presence in these songs that these people are singing. And their physicality did not give us a bad suggestion. Well, we're in a generation when you just say truth, you look like an enemy. Like now, if I tell you it's wrong for a pastor to put on earrings and plait hair, I look like a bad person. What is his business? Leave people like that. That's rubbish. As a prophet, I don't owe you telling you the truth. I mean, to an extent, I owe ultimately who? God. I must tell the truth because I'm a prophet of God, not somebody you called to come and preach for you. And that means most times you will not like my preaching. It will pepper you. But that's why I'm called. Because except it's me, nobody would have said it to you. Say, I don't like that church. The pastor, too, they talk truth. Too, they talk in mind. You want the church that they will be giving you ice cream to drink, to lick on Sunday. I like my pastor. Very loving. Very understanding. You know, they make people vex. But my former church, on Sunday, my go, they preach about you. They go discuss you. You go come call your name. Not just your name, they go call. You go talk everything what you do. You know, I've heard that they say somebody got offended one time in church. Said they told him about, they told me about him. I said, the person even looked down on me. That I gathered hatred. I said, oh yeah, talk the problem of that guy. You are too, I don't know what to say, but let me not disrespect. I don't have that time in my life. You see this life, there is no time to do that kind of thing. I got really irritated by the statement. Why will you be surprised that I'm a pastor, coupled with the fact that I'm a prophet, and I'm teaching on Sunday morning, Tuesday evening, and I will not call your case in my teaching? Why? Do you know that the first realm of prophecy is preaching the word of God? That's the first level of prophecy. Why will I not talk about your case? See, pastor is talking about, it's not a coincidence, it's a prophetic. So I want you people to be a bold generation. Are you listening to me? Be a bold, learn to stand with the truth. Learn to stand with the truth. I don't hate you, but earrings are wrong for a man. We must bring these values back to the church. I may have not stayed in this world for so long, but yesterday I was playing a song in the house. They were still listening to me. I now mentioned the name of it. They did not know. I now mentioned the song. They said, ah, that song. So I was just playing it because the song came to my heart and I wanted to listen to it. I didn't even think about anything the person had done before. I just wanted to be blessed by the song. So I was singing the song and I just played the song. And that's how God is. When He releases a sound, He doesn't care if you like be doing rubbish. You will go forever. The sound will remain forever. Because the sound is the word of God. So, I told them, I began to tell them the story. I said, there was a time this month, it started with earring. All of a sudden, the guy just started putting earrings. He said, and the church were complaining. Nothing. Then all of a sudden, he broke up. He divorced his wife and married another person as a gospel minister, singer. And he now said the wife was stubborn and etc. Only for the wife to come out and say he was already dating the other one while they were married. Of course, the church took some drastic action, a few. And before you know, that's how this guy was going down and down and down. If they call the name today, you'll be so shocked. Lately, I saw him doing one song. If you see the tattoo all over his body, somebody will now say, it is normal. It is not normal, people of God. It is not normal to sit with the Holy Ghost. Be singing, I hail you, oh, hey. And be praying in the spirit. And when you finish, you say, draw that thing from my hand. Draw Jesus. Draw Jesus from my back. Draw John 3:16 from my hand. After all that prayer, if you like, put John 18:15. It is carnality that spoiled that. Quote me anywhere. It is carnality. And when they ask you, why did you do it? You say, I'm sent to a generation of this point. I'm sent to the Yopi generation. We were Gargadia generation. God cannot use us to talk to Yopi generation. It's funny. If you look at it, the church, a lot of things the church are taking for granted. And it's a big, big problem. You can barely have people pray, like I was telling you people this evening. Small 1 hour prayer. You see people, in fact, some will just sit down and give up. They'll just give up. They'll just sit near for 1 hour. 1 hour that is like exhortation those days. One want to start praying. Then 1 hour, I say, okay, so let's begin to thank God for the prayer. We're about to start a prayer. What would you just do for 1 hour? The heart was not ready, wanted to enter that realm where the thing would just be flowing. I remember the first day I prayed with my brothers. I will never forget. Somebody almost fainted that day. We held hands. I thought it was a joke. Friday night from 5 p.m., we held hands like this. Like Adabaliya Kopolo. I've prayed 2 hours at home. I was very happy. I've entered the realm. Held hands. I tell you, it was 5 hours. My legs were shaking. Not under the power of the Holy Ghost. Weak. My other friend here was already fainting. Tongues are finished. Have you prayed like that before? That's when you were younger. If you are experiencing that now, we need to push you more. You have to break beyond that weakness into strength in the spirit. Tongues are finished. My heart was paining me. My soul and spirit was... I can feel the pain of my whole system. In my system. And I gave up on myself. Have you prayed that you gave up on you? Like you gave up and said, God, if I will die, let me die. That was my state at that point. Then I thought I was the only one till I looked at this, my brother. He has given up. He was shouting. I did not know he was crying. It got to a point. And you know what? Our brothers did not think that. They thought the guy has entered the realm of the... I was the only one that knew that this boy wanted to die. So I spoke to his ear. Is everything... Yanni. He could not answer me. He just stopped. I was looking at me. Guess what he said to my ear? Me, brother, so and so, stop praying now. I'm telling you. There was one person making the prayer long. Can you people remember that person? When you people are thinking that it's last point now, you say, I feel power. I know we're about to stop, but people of God will have to press. There is something I feel heavy in this place. And if we can stretch more 3 hours, it will drop. Some people in their hearts say, may God keep that thing for another time. God, keep it, please. Whatever you want to drop it the next service. We don't mind God. And I tell you, that brother, they don't used to tell him no. And you see that atmosphere? Anybody that say no looks like a loser. You can't say no. You have to look like a champion. Because how can everybody be praying? Do you know that what you are thinking? Everybody is thinking it, except one person. If I stop now, what would they think? That's what everybody are thinking. I tell you the truth. But I tell you, you know, I was telling somebody, I said, we may not have sufficient understanding. But every day of my life, when I think about how I grew in the faith, I give God praise. Ah! To a generation that they are making prayer look like useless things. You hear a preacher talking and talking down prayer. I don't know what understanding will carry me to that realm. Where I say, I don't believe in praying amiss, praying wrongly. But I also don't believe that there should be time duration to prayer. Pray as possible as you can pray. Do you get what I just said? What I mean is that don't stop your work and start praying. That's not what I'm saying. Pray as, underline that word, possible as you can pray. And that possible should not be misunderstood. Say, when I wake up in the morning, go work, come back, I'll pray. How? Wake up, pray. I used to tell my friends this when I was on campus. My roommate, you can go and vet from him. His name was Jacob. Some of you remember him. He told me one morning. He said, sir, how do you pray in the morning before everybody wakes up? I wake up by 4:35 to pray. And you pray in the night before everybody sleep. And you are a student like us. Sir, Gaskia, you are not a human being. This was my reply to him. I said, if you want to do the right thing, God will give you the grace to do it. You must have a desire to want to do it. Prayer is a necessity. Are you listening? You know, if you watch my routine, even people I work with in tech, some of them ask me questions, how do you do this thing? Where is the time? To make money is a good thing before God. To pray is a good thing. I don't have option three. You know, I told footballers when they invited me for match one time, I say, I only play football when there is nothing of importance for me to do. Football is not my primary responsibility. Yet football is a very beautiful sport. All right. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Just bow your heads and let's pray. Thank the Lord for His word and all that we have heard. It's a light for our path, a lamp for our feet. Go ahead and thank Him. Thank the Lord. Thank Him. The word we have heard tonight is a light for our path, a lamp for our feet. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Oh, never be on sinking sands. Our opinion are your opinions. Your word is in us, and we are in you eternally, Holy Spirit. Oh, never be drifted away from the truth into lies. Oh, labor and come into mastery. According to the rules. We will labor lawfully by your word, the revelation of your word, and get into mastery. Lord, I'm tired of chasing the wind. The Bible says, when one knows Christ, he's no longer tossed to and fro by deceitful ideologies from man's wisdom. Lord, I'm no longer tossed to and fro. I have come to terms with the understanding of your word. And your word has become my rock, beyond my biases as a human being, beyond the wrong culture and doctrines I've ever heard. Your spirit tonight is brooded in my heart and causing me to see the revelation of your word. Because only your word is truth. Because only your word is the rock. Lord, remove every wrong opinions, wrong understanding and reasoning that may seem to want to raise itself above the knowledge of God in my heart. Lord, subject it tonight by your spirit. I only give in to your word. I only give in to your word. I only believe your word. I only believe your word. I will live by your word. Only your word can prevail in my heart. Go ahead and pray.
I am sure you were blessed by these words of life and peace from Prophet Simon Thomas. Get transformed by the truth of God's word by visiting and following our social media handles at Glory Carriers Ministry International, and get more messages at www.embassyofglory.com. Also, worship with us on Tuesdays by 5 p.m. and Sundays first service by 8 a.m. and second service by 10:15 a.m. at Sheraton Hotels beside Benue State House of Assembly, Mukherjee, Benue State. God bless you.